What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with Coach Nick Nocky. Nick Nocky, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Coach Steve. How are you?
Was I close this time?
That was perfect.
I'll get it one week.
You've got it.
I'll get it one week. Now, Nick, do you like chocolate?
Yes.
Do you like chocolate? Are you excited for Easter that's around the corner?
I would love to be excited. I'm going to be excited for my children and for everybody else around me that's going to eat the chocolate.
Do you think the Easter Bunny's going to come?
The Easter Bunny will come and there'll be eggs everywhere. There'll be eggs everywhere and I just have to dream about the eggs this time.
That sounds excellent.
Excellent. Yes.
So what's your favourite type of chocolate? If you can imagine this chocolate.
Anything with a hazelnut situation going on. Something that... It has to be quite dark. I like that, bit creamy, dense sort of... good quality.
Okay, yeah, so maybe like a Cadbury.
Yeah, anything like really.
Anything good quality.
And just anything that I can just... I would love to just eat an entire block.
Yeah.
I have no real self-control around chocolate. I'm not perfect, we know this. So, for me, I choose to just not have it at this point because of my goals.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, I love seeing everyone else eat it. Mm. I'll buy bunnies and eggs for everyone. I'm a feeder.
You're a feeder.
I love seeing other people happy eating the food. So yeah. I may, because my comp's not that far away from Easter, it's probably nice to even buy myself a little egg as a treat to have after, maybe.
Interesting.
I'm really in the zone to want an egg.
After my competition a few years ago, first thing I did was ran to a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And I got a Kit Kat Crunchy.
Ooh,
right?
The yum.
Big bars. But it was one of those like caramel ones.
Oh,
yeah, I'm a sucker for caramel.
They sound great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't eat a lot of chocolate now. Yeah. I mean, I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
And if anybody gives me chocolate, it often goes in the same spot in the cupboard, like really out of sight, out of mind type situation. And it ends up going white. You know, chocolate goes white. Yeah.
Wow.
So I just never kind of eat it. So, I got chocolate. Did you know, actually, with COVID, right, and imports into Australia, coca beans and coca flavors was actually in limited supply.
Oh,
right?
Was it?
Yeah. And one of the products that we, with Max and Maxine, struggled to import into Australia and use for our products was chocolate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Because most of it comes from South America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Fair enough.
And... It was interesting because I was talking to the product and development team here, and they were mentioning that. And then now when you go to like Coles or Woolies and you're looking at buying chocolate, I look at chocolate, the price of like, I don't know, a little chocolate Easter Bunny or something like that. It's like $9, something ridiculous. I'm like, whoa, that's really expensive for a small amount. But I wonder if the cost or the limited supply, you know, economic supply and demand, caused chocolate to be, you know, at a higher price because there's less chocolate going around.
Okay, got it. So they've found a way to make it still, haven't they?
Yes, there's always a way to make chocolate, right? But look, with Easter around the corner, there's probably many people who are starting to be feeling a little bit anxious that maybe the first kind of like holiday time of the year has come around where, you know, we might be enticed to be having things like chocolates, things like family gatherings where you might be eating more than you normally should, or maybe
traditional hot cross buns, or if that's, you know, what you do, you know, maybe with your family.
Yep.
It's a tradition that you all eat it and your kids eat it too.
Yep.
So,
and you know, there is that pressure where, you know, maybe your kids or your family or your friends are having things like chocolate, and we keep talking about chocolate, and you know, you might feel pressure to be having those foods around your family. And these things are totally normal. Or maybe you're away for the weekend and you have those extra pressures. And we often face lots of questions that come into us from challenges about what they should do around Easter, usually around Christmas, usually around birthdays and weddings and these events that happen in our lives. And we have to decide, okay, well, what are we going to do?
That's right. You've got a few pathways there. You've got a few choices on the road.
You do, yeah. And I think the first step is to just really define like what are you trying to achieve.
That's right. Where are your goals, right?
And you know, like Nick, if we take your situation right now,
yes,
where your comp is only a few weeks away.
It's only a few weeks away.
Right?
So
how long now?
It's about 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks. So now you're really in that peaking moment where all these small things really start to play a big thing.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
And sure, around Easter time, you'd probably be like, oh well, maybe, you know, one little tiny Easter egg, you know, won't matter, but you know, we both know that on stage, you'll have those thoughts like, oh, if I
shouldn't
didn't
have
eat
eaten
that
Easter
right?
egg. I'll be looking at the person next to me and thinking she didn't eat an Easter egg.
Yeah.
And I did.
So we then decide, okay, well, how invested are you in your goal, right? Mm. So for yourself, peak level, athletic, yes, you know, these are in line. Making these decisions to have a chocolate isn't going to be helpful for your goal that you're trying to achieve.
My goal means more to me than having the chocolate, because I realize that still being in the presence of my family and other things can still make those memories, and they're still having what they want to have. So I just look at the fun memories that we have together that don't necessarily involve food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess in your situation, we're going for a bit more of abstinence, like straight up, like, no, I'm not having chocolate. I'm not having hot cross buns. Like, I'm not going to be having any different meals to what I'm currently having.
Yes. Right? And those things are in my house a lot anyway. So it's not a surprise, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it. There are bunnies and hot cross buns in my house as we speak. People eat them all the time. Yeah.
And the question to you is, how did you set your life up in a way where that's okay? As in, you know, what kind of conversations did you have so that your family is okay and comfortable with mum not having, you know, chocolate and that stuff?
I think they grew up with this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they might buy me some eggs and things, because I'm not going to make a big deal. But often I'll switch it to making it a big deal about getting some winter pajamas. So myself and the girls will get some cozy jammies or things like that, you know, things with rabbits on them, because we all love rabbits. So just other ways to bond and other ways to kind of enjoy Easter over the chocolate. So they kind of know that. They know that about me. And they've been through the bit where they've gone, why don't you do this? Because they realize that they're allowed to do whatever they want. So it doesn't matter really what I do. And then also, I just sort of talk to them a bit about my goal. I talk to them a bit about what I'm going to do. I involve them a bit in the goal and show them the different costumes, bikinis that I'm going to wear and why. And so they understand.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty used to me. I think for someone who's cold turkeying in that way, it might be a little bit full on. But my strategy there for someone would just be, thank you so much. I'm going to save this for another day, but I just can't wait to eat it. And you don't need to explain to them that you may never eat it. It doesn't matter. It's the thought that counts. Yeah. And I will just not make a big deal out of it and just say, can't wait. Thank you. Don't even have to explain.
Yeah. Mm. I think the hardest part is having that conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we all inherently feel like we need to, right? As in, you know, if I was at my parents' house or my partner's parents' house, right? And they've made something specifically for me, you know, I feel pressure that I need to eat that, right?
Of course.
But, you know, even just having that conversation about, okay, these are what my goals are, like, I'm just choosing not to do something like this. Most cases, it's totally fine. You know, there's no pressure. And often we misinterpret what others think that they want for us, right?
Definitely. And if we're putting so much pressure on ourselves, we can sort of, when you're hungry as well, because, you know, if you're in a calorie deficit, if you're pushing, you can kind of see everything as a personal thing. But honestly, people are just happy to eat their own eggs.
Yeah.
As soon as they eat their own eggs and they're happy, as long as you're happy, as long as you're not walking around grumpy and putting your own needs onto them, going, you know, I'm hungry, I can't walk, I'm tired. That is annoying for people. That's more annoying than saying, I'm going to have this piece of fruit instead of a bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that the first option that we have is this idea of abstinence, right? Where maybe if you're in a peak level like yourself, or if you're doing the challenge and you really want to gun for the results, top, you're seeing results, you're gunning for the top 10, you want to put in the best effort you can. You know, we're in week 10 at the moment, we're only a few weeks left. So you might be in a position where, hey, I just don't want any other speed bumps along the way. I want to give this my best effort, right? That might be an option for you. Now, if we're taking that other step of being a little bit more realist here and talking about longevity, we then have to have that conversation of going, well, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Are you going to avoid the Easter Bunny and avoid Santa and avoid every birthday and hide in your room so that no one offers you any food that you're not allowed to eat?
Exactly. We eventually need to... You don't want to be the Grinch that stole the whole of all the celebrations ever.
Yeah. So we need to find a way to be comfortable in those environments, be comfortable in those social situations, and then potentially make modifications so that we are able to still enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, right? So the memories over macros situation, like that's...
I like that.
Yeah, that's very important. Sometimes you do have to make sure that you enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. And like if that is... A cultural thing can be, you know, it's around, it's food and drinks and other things like that. So you can't take that away from yourself, because you're trying to make your life better by doing all these things anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, at Christmas, I wasn't close to any comps. We didn't even know if comps were going to happen, really. So I definitely enjoyed Christmas pudding, all mm-hmm. the things, because I also knew that in April and other holidays, things would be coming up. So it's like you bank it up.
Yeah.
And when you don't have to, you do have a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
So then later on, you can go extreme. Because yeah. when you're going extreme, it won't last forever if you don't have a bit of a break. So yeah. that's yeah. a new strategy that I've employed maybe over the last 3 or 4 years. Because before that, I was just extreme, and it was not fun for anyone.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, like, if we were to talk about kind of like two options that we've got now, on like one extreme is just a straight up not have anything. Yes. Right? So we're going abstinence style. The other side would be kind of how do I word this? Like letting yourself enjoy yourself.
Yeah, sink right? into the day. Yeah. Or the celebrations, yeah. whatever may come.
Very particular not to say let yourself go. No. But you know, enjoy the day. So maybe you do have a chocolate, maybe you do have a slice of cake, maybe you do go out for lunch, maybe you do enjoy these things, right?
Yes.
Or you have that hot cross bun and those mm-hmm. those types of actions. So, you know, if we're talking about that spectrum, we've got nothing on one side, mm-hmm. then we've kind of like enjoy all the festivities on the other side,
mm.
right? Which is totally okay as well. If you want to go and enjoy these things, that's totally fine, and you're not a bad person for enjoying
not at all. A bit of chocolate, it means that right? you know how to also, you've got both sides covered. You know yeah. how to train and eat well, and you also know how to relax.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
very much like Shane, who I mentioned a million times now, but my husband knows how to chill.
How to chill.
Very yeah. much. Doesn't worry yeah. about anything. So he knows when to relax with food.
Yeah. And, you know, if we are learning skills throughout the challenge, we become very much calorie aware.
Yeah.
So you might be able to sit there and start to look at the meals that you're having and going, oh, well, you know, if I was going away for the weekend over mm-hmm. Easter and maybe I went out for lunch here and then, you know, had a salad for dinner, but then the next day I had hot cross buns for breakfast.
Mm.
And then, you know, maybe you had a salad for lunch and then, you know, dinner time you went out and got pizza or something like that. Whatever your mm. family tradition is for Easter time, you might start to become a little bit calorie aware, being like, oh, well, you know, this meal kind of had this many calories. Mm. This meal kind of had this many calories. Am I around this caloric goal? Yes or no? And, you know, if you are maybe 10 or 20% over your caloric goal, like, it's not the end of the world, no. right? For one day, if you're slightly over, like, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
We face problems if it's consistently over,
that's right?
That's right. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're over your calories by, you know, maybe 100, 200 calories, okay, you know, we kind of pick it up and move on, right? That's, you're not a bad so person. So
important to and the challenge isn't over. Yeah. Yeah, you need to move on. And I think that's just the most important takeaway from this is that, yeah, you if you get stuck there and give it all up because that's happened,
mm-hmm.
you'll be in a far worse position than if you just move on the next day
mm.
and just move on. Go for a walk the next day. Get up early, go for a walk. That's what I tend to do if I've... you know, if I've done anything where I feel that I've not adhered to mm-hmm. what I'm meant to adhere to, I'll just get up, go for a walk and start again. Nobody in this world is 100%.
No.
There's just nobody. No. So, and we're not robots. Things happen to us. We have emotions. We have things. We have lives. And it's great that you have a life and want to celebrate too. Isn't mm. that nice?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's, I think. Yeah, so memories over macros for that one. So that's what we say as well.
If we were to like think about this spectrum on, mm. you know, one side we've got abstinence, the other side we're kind of, you know, letting ourselves enjoy the festivities. Yeah. Like, how can we start making, you know, changes to our environment so that mm-hmm. we're kind of around the middle of there? Like, how yeah. can we, you know, not really be on the extreme of each? How can we find a balance between both? Do you have any strategies yes. that people can use?
I've got the best hacks ever. You've come to the right place. Okay, so good hack for if you're visiting somebody's house, take things with you and share them with everyone else. So make a salad, maybe like out of one of our recipes. We've got mm. heaps of good ones. So yeah. it could be a salad with a bit of protein in it, and you can share it with everybody. So you know that then there's food that's challenge approved that mm. that is actually there, and it also makes you look good because you're sharing a beautiful salad. It's yeah. probably colorful, probably yeah. full of, you know, really lovely meats and other things. So you can just nibble on that. Nobody's going to notice what you're eating. Nobody's staring at you.
Yeah.
So if you're overwhelmed by the choices and you're just not sure, that's one strategy, and I find that one works every time for me. I also always take fruit for my kids, like, and I cut it up there, and then if I just can't find anything, then I'll nibble on some of that. So yeah. then you look at the options. You always, like, there's usually some sort of protein, always. Mm. So I will always just break it down and go, what's the leanest protein that I can see there, and have some of that, and then some greens or veggies. And if it's a sort of party that has none of that, then I'd probably have to think about what kind of a party it was, but I'd probably eat something before to make sure I wasn't too hungry going in.
Yeah. Then maybe when you go in, you might like nibble on, I don't know, some chips or whatever else is there, but then you're not, you know, looking for an entire meal.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And just you know, enjoy yourself, but you're actually not physically super hungry, so you're not going to like eat the whole bowl of Doritos.
Yeah.
Is that what you do too?
I'm known to bring platters of fruit. For me to bring platters of fruit, now people will preempt that and would be like, oh, I've made fruit salad, like a platter of fruit for you.
That's
like,
really nice.
Thanks.
That's so really nice.
Now when I go places, people like think of me, and I kind of feel, I don't know, guilty that I've forced them to do something for me. But then the other side, I'm like, oh, well, they've made good choices. They're making fruit now instead of like a cake.
And fruit's colourful and lovely and, you know, juicy. And if you're seasonal with your fruit, there's heaps of options.
Yeah. I definitely like the idea of, planning ahead. Right.
Yeah. Where, I think it's important.
Yeah. And especially because each environment's going to pose its own unique challenges. Mm. Right. So that could be, you know, a family gathering. That could be a friend's house. That could be, you know, you going away for the weekend, you camping. Like these challenges are going to be very unique. Yeah. Right.
And camping's easy because you take your own food. Yeah. I mean, honestly, you're in control of your camping. If you're camping with friends, anything, you've got to bring your own food. Yeah. I don't know anywhere where you get fed while you're camping. No. So.
Unless you're glamping or something like that.
Yeah, if you're glamping, then you're sorted.
You might be listening to this
while
you're glamping. But yeah, if you're definitely planning ahead, and that could be little things, and you know, I'm sure you've done this before. Like if you're going away, you might be looking at different restaurants or supermarkets you go.
Definitely,
you can go and,
I check.
Shop at, right?
I check as soon as we, unless I've Googled it or something, but I usually make sure a town has a supermarket. Mm-hmm. A supermarket has everything that you need, because where do you buy your food to prep anyway? A supermarket. Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward. There's tuna cans. Another thing that's just happened recently is hard-boiled eggs are now in packets. Like you can actually buy them in the egg section. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
You can get two eggs. Excellent. So they're great snacks.
Okay, I like that.
So that's decent. Mm-hmm. We've got that. We've got often the deli at, say, a Coles, that will have a shredded roast chicken happening. Mm. But you can also grab a chicken because you can share it with your family.
Yeah.
You know, you can grab the lean bits of that.
And the pre-packed salad, you don't.
Yeah, pre-packed salad. See, when we went to Bright recently, I got pre-packed Greek salad and some chicken pretty much every day, and mm-hmm. that kept me happy.
Yeah.
You know, and at the time I still was having fruits, so mm-hmm. I could I love plums. Could eat a million plums. So nothing wrong with fruits. There's also, if you're a dairy person, you can eat the Yopros. They're everywhere too. You can even have them in the squeezy pouches that are like babies, but you can squeeze them. So they're go-to snacks. Then you'll get full, and then you can walk around the town and you can, everyone else can have pastries and stuff, and you can have a nice coffee, but without necessarily the other things in it.
Yeah.
Can you tell I've done this before?
You've done this before. It's a well-oiled machine you are.
Yeah.
Now, often we get those questions about, are there any other hacks that we can do?
Yeah.
Right? And often these hacks involve things like borrowing calories.
Yes.
And, you know, this is an advanced technique and, you know, we do need to talk about it because it's a thing that people can do.
Yeah.
And some people can pull it off quite well.
Yeah.
But we need to remember that, you know, most humans like me, like you, we suck at discipline, right?
Mm.
So when we're employing these advanced methods, you know, there are some limiting factors. Now, there's two kind of ways that we can kind of borrow calories. So firstly, if you are, let's say going out for dinner in the evening, what you could do is eat fewer calories through lunch and breakfast and throughout the day. So then you're kind of saving your calories for the evening, right?
Yeah.
So then we're kind of taking this a little bit of like a macro view of your macros, right? Where you're taking, instead of looking at just the day, you're kind of looking at the week and going, oh, well, you're kind of looking at the broader day rather than the meal, right?
Yeah.
So instead of going, oh, this meal, I want this many calories, this meal, I want this many calories, you kind of borrowed some calories from the other meals to have them at dinner time. Now, the problem that we face with that is that when we are eating fewer calories, we might stimulate our hunger.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of let yourself go to eat more at that dinner time, you can overeat. Yeah, in that, you'd that be period, right?
Massively hungry as soon as you start to eat. It's yep. like it just won't switch off.
Yep. Then we face problems where throughout the whole day you end up having a higher calorie intake throughout the entire day.
Mm.
The other option would be to look at it the next day. So if you do have your regular day with a bigger dinner, you could then have fewer calories the next day. But again, we suck at discipline. We're less likely to be eating fewer calories the next day than
It's almost possible that it could stress you out more to do that than just to get back on plan the next day.
Yeah.
If it's going to stress you out more to count, just say that you overate by about 800 calories, you had a great time, but then the next day you wake up hungry and you're like, I'm just going to not eat. That would be worse.
Yeah, you're beating yourself up, basically.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
If you had to stick to it because you had a specific calorie target and you had to report in and that was it, then you'd have to suck it up.
Mm.
But you don't have to, because this is really supposed to be... This is a lifestyle thing. This is learning about how to actually learning about how to navigate. If you have a day like that, how do you navigate it and live your life?
Yep.
You just wake up the next morning and make your normal breakfast.
Yeah.
Right? Just
keep on going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe that. I think it's very important. And I think unless I've got specific targets that I have to meet and I've done something silly, I've always just believed in just getting back on with it. And a nice walk in the morning, if you've got the energy, if you're away and you are doing the gym or anything, go and smash it out in a nice gym session. Do a leg day or something that's going to use a lot of that muscle glycogen, you know, that you've built up the night before by eating.
You might have a PB.
Yeah. You might have a PB in a little hotel gym somewhere. But, you know, that's the thing. But at the same time, we're saying relax from... You know, that's assuming that you're going to train. But yeah, you can walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's things you can do. Absolutely. Yeah,
nothing is ever irreversible.
No. You know, we've spoken a lot about the nutrition side of things around Easter. And I do think that we do need to make a comment on the training side of things, because often when we're away, you know, we might not be training at our gym or at home. We might be at like a hotel gym, or, you know, maybe we've taken a few days off where we're not training anymore. And I think that is equally as important as in, you know, are you maintaining at least your step count? Are you being physically active?
Yeah.
Are you trying to be adherent to a training program throughout this period? And we can't forget about the training side of things and focus just completely on nutrition, right?
Yeah, because you can have some cracker if you want to. You know, it depends where you go, but you might want to actually walk around. You can have some really great hikes or walks that are just that actually do use up a lot of energy, and you're actually having a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of thing. You can change your training completely and say, I'm going to be a hiker for the next 2 days, and just do that during the day. Enjoy yourself and get some fresh air. That's great for you. You know, things like that. You can sort of mix up your training a little bit. You know, walking on the sand if you're away at the beach, that's actually quite taxing on the body and really good for you as well.
Yeah.
So there's things you can do, isn't there?
Here's a little story for you. So when I was overseas, right? So I was in Europe, and the situation was I was in pretty good nick, right? I was training at home, I was pretty lean, and then I went overseas, right? And I'm on the beach in Europe, and you know, right, you're on the beach, I'm with some people I met at the hostel, we're taking some photos or whatever, and then we go out that night, right? And while we were out and about, I think we were having like pizza. I think we were somewhere in Italy, as you do. And I think we were having pizza, and you know, there's a few beers and things like that. And then we were looking at the photos of the day at the beach, right? And while I was looking at these photos, you know, I looked at myself and I was like, oh, geez, that guy looks good. Yeah. But then like while I was sitting there, I also had pizza in front of me. And this weird thing happened where I didn't really like wants to keep drinking or eating at that moment, because I was looking at myself and like, oh geez, like that guy's in shape. Have you ever done something like that where you look at like photos 100% of yourself and then definitely make those decisions?
I feel like definitely I have. I feel like, look, I think I'm, you know, if you're doing a check-in or anything like that, it's actually a good idea sometimes. If you're on the fence, if you're committed to going out and that's it and that's what you want to do, fine. But if you were on the fence and you're like, should I or shouldn't I, do some check-in photos. Are you where you want to be? That can really inspire you to get back on track away, or not blow it. Because, put a bikini on and take some photos and go, okay, am I where I want to be? Visually, you know? And then that is that's enough motivation in a competition like this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough motivation to keep on going.
Yeah, especially if you know that your goal might take a bit of time, a bit of effort, right? As in, maybe you know that this challenge might not be the challenge for you. You might need a couple more challenges before you're in that end game physique that you're looking for, right? Yep. You know, this is a moment where you go, okay, well, do I just want to like have a little bit of a break here, or do I want to, let's say, take a check-in photo, take a photo of yourself, and make that choice, being like, okay, do I want to, you know, keep making decisions that are going to support my transformation long term, or do I want a little bit of a break, right? It really comes down to that decision.
And it's up to you. That's the thing. We can't tell you either way. No.
And look, you're not a bad person.
No.
If you, whatever decision you make,
of course not. Make you a bad person. You know, there's no good or bad about this, but to have a balanced lifestyle, you need to be able to bounce back from things like that and not make it your forever plan either, to have Easter eggs and sit around and that sort of thing all the time. You need to have a balance. It's all about balance.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Now, at this stage of the challenge, you know, we're in week 10.
Yes, nearly at the end.
Nearly there. We do start getting questions of, well, you know, what am I going to do once the challenge is over, right? So, you know, today when we're recording this, it's the 30th of March, right?
Yes.
And, you know, the challenge ends just in a couple of weeks, which is on the 18th of April.
Yes.
So just a few weeks away. And the next challenge starts on May the 10th. Well, yeah. I mean, prep week starts on May the 10th, right? So, and officially the challenge begins on May the 17th, right? So we're looking at, you know, let's say about 3 to 4 weeks between challenges, right? And, you know, this question comes up. I was like, oh, what am I meant to do either between challenges? What am I meant to do after the challenge? Like, how am I meant to maintain my results? Maintenance is hard. We all know that. And, you know, some challenges can feel lost about, okay, now that it's over, what do I do?
Where do I go with my calories?
Right. And, you know, some may just revert back to old habits, and that's when we see, you know, the weights creeping back on, right? We hope that most have developed enough habits that, you know, things like exercise is something that they enjoy. It's a hobby for them now, rather than, you know, maybe some language like it's a chore or anything like that. You know, it's now something they look forward to. You know, keeping your steps up is something that you actively do, and
that's part of your day.
Maybe eating in a certain way has become the norm, where you might, instead of having like, you know, pizza from Domino's every night, you now choose to have like a homemade salad with, you know, some chicken on the side or something like that. Like, we hope that these are changes that you've encompassed into your life. And for most of us, we kind of end up in this kind of flexible dieting position. That's maybe where I am now, where, you know, I don't really follow a strict diet. But if I wrote down everything that I eat on a piece of paper, most people will be like, oh, well, that's a diet, right? Yeah. Well, because it's my diet.
Yeah.
So I've like created a framework of flexible eating that I'm able to maintain my body weight quite comfortably.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can periodically enjoy things like a burger on the weekend or catching up with a beer with my mates. So now I've created a lifestyle where I'm able to still see physical improvements in my physique, and then also be comfortable. So this is where I'm comfortable.
Yeah, and also you track, so you're very aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
So like, if something happened to you over a week and your weight went to somewhere that you didn't want it to, you'd be able to rein it back
in.
That's
right. Yeah.
You know, because you're very aware of your data, which is so important.
Yeah. So that's where I am at, right? Mm. And you might not have those goals, and you might be more maybe in line with what Nick's goals are, where she's you know, you're really involved in some physique based goals, and you're going, okay, well, how am I going to get myself to peak level, right? And that's totally okay as well. So whichever path you choose, if you wanted to become really regimented and really focusing on your physique, being as lean as possible. Happy
and
days.
And we see some of the challengers doing that in the forum and in the Facebook group.
And that's totally fine.
And that's their lifestyle. So, yeah, and there's it takes a long time to get to that point too.
Yeah.
It takes a long, long, long time. And, you know, there are moments where you know, you think, oh, I want to be more flexible and things, but to achieve that type of a physique, you can't be as flexible, but then you can always rein it back.
Yep.
We're all a couple of pizzas away from being flexible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So I think when we face like the end of the challenge, right? When we face that time, I think it's important to take that step back and really readdress your reason why.
Yeah.
And often the reason why changes over time. And a common narrative we face is that people start the challenge because of maybe more of a an appearance based reason, mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to lose weight, mm. or I'm not happy, I'm not confident with my, my body. It's very like appearance driven goal and outcome. But then that can change over time. So like for me now to exercise, it's my mental outlet.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
If anything, it's my entertainment because it's something that I really enjoy doing is exercising. Yeah. So now this lifestyle, my reason why I do it is very different from when I started.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a great time to reflect. Okay, what's the reason why you're doing
exactly,
this?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I forgot to just say one thing about Easter, which I just have to mention. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, a lot of you are going to be looking really good. Mm. So enjoy it when you see your family for the first time in a while or anything like that. That's the other good thing.
Yeah.
Like, forgot to say that because people have been really probably doing really well and you've changed in some way for sure if you've been sticking with the program at all.
Mm.
So don't forget to soak up those compliments and say thank you.
Yeah, say thank you.
Yeah, that's all.
And you know, you might inspire a family member, a friend to start a healthy
forward,
life.
Pay it forward, definitely. So that's the positive about Easter as well. It's a good time to say, you know, get some new clothes and rock them.
Now, you know, once we've taken that moment to kind of reflect on, I guess, what we want, right? Mm. Where it's okay to be as lean as we want. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be a little bit flexible. I think the ultimate goal is that we feel comfortable with our body, right? And that we, you know, soon look at fitness for its health benefits, right?
Exactly.
You know,
and we have the power to change it at any time with the tools and the knowledge that we now have about nutrition and training.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for most people that join the challenge, they would be looking at joining the next challenge, right? Where most people, you know, we get a really high return challenger rate.
Absolutely.
And
it's great.
The idea is that, you know, we want to progressively provide you with a training program that you can follow if you're training at home, at a gym, anywhere that you are, and you can continue to see you know, results moving forward, right? And some of those results don't need to be, you know, drastic and wow-like. Those results can be quite small when we're in that advanced level, right? Like, let's say myself, you know, I train hard to build as much muscle as I can, and I would be ecstatic if I, you know, gained a kilo of muscle over a 12-week period, right? So we do need to be realistic once we get into these advanced periods, and we go, okay, like, how am I going to continue to grow? But as long as we're seeing that gradual improvement, that's the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
So for most people, they choose to join us for the next challenge, right? And that kind of 4-week period is a great time to kind of reset, right?
Yes.
So my advice to anybody who's completed the challenge is to take a little bit of time off, right? And what that means is up to a week, we go through a process that we call a deload, where either we choose to abstain from training hard, as in, like, you know, a 10 out of 10 effort, and maybe you're going to the gym and doing a light effort, or maybe going for a walk or something like that, basically giving yourself time to recover.
Mixing it up, maybe doing some yoga or a bike ride, just something different, still staying active and breathing and stuff, but just in a different way.
In terms of the dieting side of things, I recommend most of us to kind of have a bit of a diet break where we're a little bit less restricted. Now, in the perfect situation, most of us would be in a calorie deficit throughout probably, you know, the weeks 4 to 8 and then 9 to 12 for most of us. Most of us in these weeks 1 to 4 are kind of in this maintenance calorie zone.
Sussing it out, seeing what our body's doing.
But then, you know, once we transition to that weeks like 5 to 8 and then 9 to 12, most of us are in a calorie deficit, an energy deficit. Now, what does an energy deficit really mean? It means that we are consistently losing body weight, right? So what we're aiming to do at the end of the challenge is to slightly increase our calories so that we are consistently maintaining our body weight, right? We call that maintenance, right? And how hard is maintenance?
Yeah, really hard. It's really, really hard.
Now, you know, ultimately what we want to achieve is a position where our body weight stays consistent. So it's not going up, it's not going down, right? And of course, we're going to have those daily fluctuations. So we need to allow for a little bit of like a buffer. Something like, let's say maybe 5%, right, up and down is maybe something that we can manage. And that's maybe something like myself where, you know, at the moment I'm about 100 kilos or so. And I kind of have this buffer of a couple of kilos where, you know, every other day I might be up at like 101, 102, then I go back to 99, 98. I kind of like, buffer around that area. And that's totally normal because of those ebbs and flows that we have, right? But then I know that if my weight is starting to creep up a little bit more, okay, I just rein it back. Maybe I won't have 3 pizzas this week. I only have like half pizza or something like that, right? So it's all about this like flexible approach of having control over my food intake.
That's because you train hard, you got a lot of muscle. That's why you can have three.
3, please. That's breakfast. But then we go, okay, well, what are we going to do, you know, after this like week's period? So we've had a little bit of a deload for about a week. We've kind of eaten a little bit more, you know, ad hoc, where maybe we're not as restricted. We're slowly increasing our energy intake, and we're trying to find a position where our body weight is maintained, right? Yes. We don't want to be, you know, overly increasing our energy intake so that, you know, we're kind of blowing it all away.
No.
Most of us would kind of fit in nicely back at that kind of week 1 to 4 energy intake, right?
Exactly. And you want to see, you actually want to use your body as it, like, you want to see what's going on with it. You want to see if you can go to those calories and what actually happens. That's it's quite fun. Because you're in control.
You're in control.
Yeah. You have a look and see what happens, because you might actually find that it sits quite well with you.
Yeah.
And your mood improves. And even the other thing is your NEAT, the activity that you just do, you're fidgeting everything, you're moving around, might actually go up a little bit because you've got more calories again.
Yep.
So
that
can happen. And then people go, whoa, I'm feeling great, I'm moving so much, oh, I've dropped some weight, because you might have actually expended a lot of calories accidentally. So you don't know what's going to happen.
Yep. I think most of us get really fearful of that calorie increase. Right?
It's a fun time. Yeah, of course we do. Yep. But remember, we know how to get to the other side because we've just gotten there. So I wouldn't be fearful.
No.
I wouldn't worry. That it's actually, you've got to go there.
You do.
There's no choice. Yeah. You will go there at some point. So you may as well go there fairly quickly, because that's good for your body.
Yeah. Mm. And if we put into like real perspective, like let's say you're consistently having, let's throw a number out there, 1,500 calories. It's a round number.
Yeah.
You're consistently having 1,500 calories and you're consistently seeing your weight drop, so you're in an energy deficit, right? If you consistently have 1500 calories, eventually your body's going to adapt to 1500 calories, right? Meaning that you're eventually going to lose body mass, let that be bone, muscle, fat tissue, and you're eventually going to reduce your energy expenditure, talking about the NEAT that you were just saying, that, you know, your steps will drop, your fidgeting will drop, your hand gestures will drop, all these things, so that you become maintenance at 1500 calories.
That's right.
Right? Now, you've probably eaten at 1,500 calories.
Yep.
What is life like when you're constantly having 1,500 or 1,400 or 1,300 or even 1,200, that magical number, right? What is life like when you're having such a low energy?
Well, when your work friends are going for a walk, they have to walk slower. Things, you're just not as, it's not very fun.
No.
Life is a little bit grey.
Yeah.
It's far less, you've got far less energy for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, It doesn't feel great. And also other things start to happen, like, little joint aches and other things, niggles that you might not have had for a while. They come out to visit, bit of bruising things. You know, when you're low in calories, it's not good for you.
No.
And you adapt, and then also you just start to lose muscle, which is what you've been building in the first place.
Yep.
Get me straight to 2,000 calories right now.
Yeah.
I want to go there now. I'm scaring myself. But it's actually really good to go back up.
It is. Because basically what will happen is, if you're constantly in this energy deficit or really low energy intake, eventually your overall activity will decrease.
Absolutely.
Which means eventually your muscle mass will decrease.
Yeah.
Then you get into a position where you're kind of skinny, but then what we kind of call like skinny fat.
That's right.
You're not lean.
No, your body's going to hold on to the fat over the muscle, because if you're running from a lion, it doesn't know if you're running from a lion or if you are, just not sure about your calories.
Yeah.
And so to run from a lion, the muscle is too heavy for you to run for a long time from a lion, but the fat is not as heavy.
No.
Like, I mean, obviously a kilo of fat and a kilo of muscle weigh the same, but it's just that, you can pack a lot more muscle into your frame and it will go first.
Yeah.
That's why your body's mean like that. It'll drop to one thing that you want.
Yeah. Well, muscle tissue is really difficult to maintain, right? It takes lots of energy to maintain. And, you know, the body wants to survive, and to survive, it wants to be in the lowest energy expenditure as it possibly can.
Yeah.
So if it can, it's going to get rid of your muscle.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think this is where we face problems, where some people are so eager to continue to cut their calories forever, for, you know, till they waste
zero.
Away to nothing.
Yeah.
What the negative effects of that is that individual can't train as hard in the gym. That individual ends up feeling lethargic, feeling slow, might not be able to perform, and then they end up losing muscle. So then they're not happy with the way that their physique looks.
Yeah, and it's that switch that you see in people where they go, I was looking better a few weeks ago. I don't understand. I was on higher calories. You sort of see that question.
Yeah.
And you go, that's where you've crossed the line for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's never too late, but it's like, well, before you cross that line, mm-hmm. while you're still looking, you know, the picture of health and great, mm-hmm. that's when you play around with putting your calories back up to maintenance. Yep. We're not saying surplus here.
No.
We're not saying more than what you are burning. We're not saying gaining body fat. Although, like, when you go back up to maintenance, there may be a little bit, but it's not the end of the world. It's just your body adjusting, and it's not going to be a lot.
No.
It's not going to be, believe yep. me. So it's worth it, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, most of us in the challenge are sitting at about a 10 to 20% energy deficit mm-hmm. or calorie deficit. So your maintenance might only be a couple hundred calories higher than what you're currently having. And that could be maybe an extra serving of a grain, a dairy extra, mm-hmm. or maybe a slightly higher portion size at dinner or something like that. So it can just be a very small increase, right?
That's
but that
right.
can pay dividends in our overall well-being.
Yeah,
right?
And that's a really also really healthy way of looking at it rather mm-hmm. than going, what calories have I got left for the day? All right, give me mm-hmm. 3 chocolate bars or something. But if you actually just do it in the intelligent way where you sort of go back to the start of the challenge where there were those portions,
mm-hmm.
that's the optimal, if you're asking for the optimal way, that's the optimal way to yeah. do it.
Like, I think the most optimal way on paper would be kind of reversing it slightly.
Oh, yeah, bit by bit.
On paper, yeah. So maybe you kind of go into that weeks 5 to 8
mm.
and then slowly transition to
sure.
weeks 1 to 4.
Sure, yeah. If there's anyone who wants to do that and does it, chart yeah. it for us, because that, like, yeah. that's great yeah. data for us.
Yeah. And, yeah. you know, most of us, you know, we promote this idea of, like, reverse dieting, where we slowly mm. increase our energy intake by maybe 50 calories mm. a day for a week, and then we slowly increase it. Mm. And sure, this works really nicely on paper, but in practice, we find that the adherence to something like that is quite low.
Yeah.
So, you know, reverse dieting is great, especially if you're at a really peak level, like mm-hmm. maybe yourself, Nick, when you're going on stage. If you're, you know, a guy, you're at 6% body fat, maybe a girl, you're like, you know, 14-13% mm. body fat, and you're in these like peak levels, okay, maybe we do need to go through a regimented reverse dieting process
yeah.
where we very slowly increase your energy intake to try to avoid, you know, excessive amounts of body
fat.
That's
also because we have really, in this game, in the bodybuilding game, we've really messed our metabolism up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not super healthy to be,
no.
this is the higher end, it's not super
yeah.
healthy to be there.
No.
But, so that's not, like, this is different, you know.
Yeah, but I think
yeah.
for most of us in the challenge, just gradually increasing our energy
yeah.
intake. And I'd say monitor your body weight changes,
mm.
right? And we're trying to keep it at like an isometric level where it doesn't
mm-hmm.
really change, right? So, you know, we're slightly increasing it, slightly decreasing it, playing around with that there. So, look, going back to this gap between the challenge, right? So what are we going to do between April 18th and May the 10th? We've got a week off of training,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're slowly building ourselves back up into a maintenance. So maybe you're taking a week off where maybe you are enjoying that pizza that you've been thinking about, or maybe you are kind of looking for that chocolate bar that you've been thinking about. Okay,
mm.
you've got a week there. Then we're kind of slowly building ourselves back up into this maintenance kind of zone where we're trying to keep our body weight at an equal amount, right?
Mm.
Then in terms of training, you know, we're kind of open to try whatever we like, right?
That's right.
So we've got a couple of weeks here in between where we could train any way we like. Now, that could mean that you explore things like maybe yoga,
mm-hmm.
maybe you like swimming, maybe you like hiking, so maybe you spend a bit of time enjoying these things, right? Or maybe you spend a little bit of time finding your weaknesses, because we all have weaknesses. So maybe you spend a couple of weeks working on strengthening your hips because you have knee pain, or
yeah.
strengthening your midsection because you have back pain or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Or like take note of the exercises that you found challenging
mm-hmm.
in the program, and maybe write yourself something that where you can play around with those exercises. Even, you know, we all can do with some technique work and squat depth work, things
mm-hmm.
like that will pay absolute dividends when the challenge starts. You
yep.
know, imagine if you can start the challenge day one, squatting to depth really well with no pain,
mm-hmm.
feeling good, reverse dieting like a boss.
Yeah.
Like, hello. That's the way it's done.
It's all the good things.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, we're basically building ourselves. And look, we have the training template, right?
Mm-hmm.
The training template, make sure you download a copy of that Google spreadsheet. It allows for lots of customization.
Mm.
So you could change a lot of the exercises around so that you almost reinvent a training program,
mm.
right? So that, you know, you can follow a training program just for a couple of weeks before our new training program
yeah,
comes out.
Definitely.
Now, you know, the next challenge prep week begins on May the 10th. Right,
yes.
And then May the 17th, it's go time with
yep,
the challenge begins. Now, I think it's important that we You know, most of us will choose to just continue doing the challenge and then mm-hmm. bleed into the next one. But, you know, we do need a time to rest and recover and then begin the challenge again, right? Because we want to think of the challenge kind of like in waves, yeah. right? Where progress isn't always linear in a straight line. You know, sometimes there are these ebbs and flows where we kind of like wave our way up to yeah. the top. So we do need these times where we are kind of resting so that when it's go time, it's go time. When it's rest time, it's rest
that's
time.
That's right. And right? that's so important. And yeah. also, that's what you can think of during Easter as well. You can, to bring it back, you can think of the end, and now you know you get a little bit of a rest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always nice to have that in mind, the fact that you will rest, and we're not quite at the finish line yet,
mm-hmm.
but that rest will come.
Yep.
So it's there. Sort of, yeah, it's that last bit of the marathon where you think you can't do it, and this is where the strength comes in.
Yep.
You know, the personal strength.
Now, there are lots of information being uploaded to the challenge website about the completion. So you'll be able to find on the dashboard information about how to complete your check-in, mm-hmm. The final check-in process, how to take your final photo, and you can even find the exit document up now. So if you are, you know, maybe going away or having surgery or anything crazy over the next couple of weeks and you want to do your photos today, you could do your photos today.
That's another little strategy, just in case you think, oh, I'm going to eat some eggs and all that, and you're looking pretty good now, take the photo.
Take the photo. So make sure you go check out some of the information that's there. Go check out some of the previous top 10s and how they did their final photo. And there are previous podcasts and articles and information that you'll be able to find online about different pieces of advice about you know, how to take your photo, such as probably the big one, just being aware of what's on the other parts of your photo, such as, you know, are you taking the photo in your bedroom and your bedroom's a mess, or are you taking your photo in your bathroom and your bathroom's a mess, or something like that.
Just plain background if possible would be awesome.
And then of course thinking about what we're wearing, because often than not there's some interesting attire that some people choose to wear. Some attire that is kind of hiding a lot of results. So you know, like guys wearing shorts and hiding the quads and stuff like that.
It's true.
And then the opposite side, where maybe showing a little bit too much. So just being aware of what we're wearing is probably goes a long way for our judging panel.
Definitely, I think so. I think just something really, really that just shows your physique well and is really just nice.
Yep, absolutely. Mm. But look, I think before we go, I just want to make a note that as we reach the tail end of the challenge, remember that there aren't any big shortcuts, right?
No.
We might be in a position where we're trying to look for the edge or the extra 1%. And I want you to think like you were an athlete about to go perform. Mm. You're Usain Bolt right now, about to step up to the stand for his 100-meter sprint or dash. Mm. You know, that's not the time to be playing around with your shoes or playing around with your, you know, nutrition or your pre-game warm-up or anything like that. So if you're wondering, oh, like, what am I going to do to try to, you know, get the most out of the last week of the challenge, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do not start manipulating any variables such as salt or water or carbohydrates or anything like that, because you can only be consistent with the information that you have now. And if you haven't practiced in manipulating those variables,
you can go wrong, big time.
Both in a, you know, ruining your progress type of way or ruining your health type of way. So just be very cautious about going really deep into, you know, bodybuilding forums or anything that you find online, if you're especially looking for the edge out there.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
No.
But look, guys, in summary, Easter is around the corner. You know, there's two there's like a big spectrum that we got here. We've either got abstinence on one side, or we've got our joyous enjoying ourselves on the other side. And then, you know, you choose where you want to sit on the rating, and it really depends on your overall goal, right? The end of the challenge is near, and it's important that we reconsider what our reason why is, and, you know, what kind of future do you want to have in fitness, where, you know, you can be a little bit flexible like myself, or you can go into the competition side of things like Nick, and both are totally fine and
absolutely
okay, right?
And you can go between them. It's a lifestyle.
And, you know, join us for the next challenge so that we can continue to see your body grow and adapt and, you know, get these big long-term transformations, you know, being part of our community, being part of the competition, so that you can be, you know, in the best shape of your life consistently and be happy in the body that you're in.
Yeah, right? Fantastic. See you guys.
See you guys. Catch you next time.
Thank you.